Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Buck Belue Show on this Wednesday morning. Hopefully your hump day's off to a good start. As we've got the gangs all here today. We've got Road Dogg Gillespie in the house, Derek Thomas, Sean Nerney. The staff that gets it done here at The Fan. And I'm missing our intern, Acock, who's probably at Academy Sports right now. Incoming, exit 13. You can probably step in there and see him. But here we go. Got a lot to get to today, man. We appreciate you hanging out Monday through Friday, 10 to 11, here on 680 or 93.7. Maybe you're streaming with us, 680thefan.com. Click and watch. We got the mobile app driven by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. And you can listen on the smart speaker. Presented by South Point Financial Services. 10 o'clock hour sponsor, the Haug Barron Law Group. And Wednesday, let's see, we got something going on Wednesday. What is it? That's right. We've got the Infinity of Gwinnett Drive, the content today. Final segment of the show. You dictate what we talk about. How about that? Thanks to Infinity of Gwinnett. And you need to call in right now. We'll start tallying those votes at 404-231-1680, the number. Presented by Infinity of Gwinnett, empower the talk, empower the drive. We will have that in the final segment of the show. Got a couple of interviews for you today. We're going to hang out with Mort. He joins us every Wednesday at 10:20. And then a conversation with the J. Reed Parker, Director of Athletics at the University of Georgia. That would be Josh Brooks. Coming up at 10:35 today. Nerney, let's get it started.
Bucks. Big take.
The big take. All right, a big win for the Braves last night in Boston. They showed some fight. Persevered. Some more frustrating moments. A lot more soft contact going on. But we cashed in on a victory after three straight losses, and that was the first three-game losing streak of the season. And it hurt because, well, we were losing to the Mets, who were trying to chase down. But good news last night, we had the stars of this team led the way. Acuña, my friends, is back, swinging the bat with a vengeance. And Austin Riley delivered another huge performance. He had a bomb, the still traveling MVP.
A triple
MVP. And five runs batted in the game last night. This is exactly what this team needed to jumpstart success on the remainder of this road trip. But we should not be surprised. We really shouldn't. Brian Snitker's Braves teams always fight back. This division race is not over. I know it. You know it. And the Mets know it. You know, toughness, perseverance, and determination are really good qualities to have. In sports, in radio, and in life. And there's your life lesson today in the Big Take. Really good qualities to have. Let's hear from Riley after the game last night talking about the big win.
It was huge, and you know, a bullpen fault right there, you know, shows a lot, you know, from them. And like I said, you know, come off this weekend, that was I felt like a needed win, and we got it, and you know, hopefully can build on that.
Brother, let's build on it, brother. And that means get another win tonight with Kyle Wright on the mound. Tell you what, let's break it all down as we chop it up.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Yeah, game two tonight, 7-10 series finale, just a two-game set. We got Kyle Wright going for his 14th victory tonight, and he needs a bounce-back performance. Remember the last time out against the Mets, 6 innings, 6 runs. When he had pitched heading into the game against the Mets, the team had won 7 games in a row, so need to get another streak like that going on last night, going on tonight. Now, last night, 11-inning game, I mean, that game must have gone on for what seemed like 12 hours. I mean, seriously, the investment that fans have to make following Major League Baseball these days, and we're trying to speed up the game, and the game seems to slow down. Thing ended around midnight, apparently, seemingly, as we go 11 innings and win 9-7. Again, Braves showing a lot of fight and perseverance to come back and win the game. And the Stars led the way. Acuna, 3-for-5 with a walk. He was on base 4 times, scored 3 runs. And how about the run that extended the lead to 2 runs as we put it away as he scored from first base? Is that ball hitting the gap in left center? I don't think there are probably only a couple of guys in the big leagues that score from first on that play. Great slide, avoid the tag. Acuna is back. And Dansby with a big hit. He goes 2-for-6 with a run and an RBI. Riley doing his thing. Matzik getting his first career save. Had a lot of people step up in the victory last night. And that was great to see. There was some bad news, though, as Orlando Arcia goes down injured, gets a big hit late in the game, trying to stretch it into second base, racing to second base, and hurt his hamstring, his left hamstring pop on the way to second in the 10th inning after delivering that go-ahead hit. And they had to assist Arcia off the field. Let's hear from Snit after the ball game talking about Arcia.
He's such a great teammate and is always one of them top stepper guys that's always cheering his teammates on. The guys love him. I love him. Everybody. I mean, he's a big part of this team. He was last year and it's just, and how he stepped in and the job he's done here has been unbelievable, especially defensively and Ozzie's absence. So, like I said, I hate it for him. He likes to play baseball. I mean, he's a grinder, you know, ballpark rat.
Yeah, and we're going through second baseman, man. We're grinding the second baseman up. Adrianza came in, stepped in, and took over at second base. And until Albies returns, apparently Adrianza will be playing a lot of second base. Let's hear from Riley after the game talking about Arcia.
It seems like it's, you know, always, you know, something happens, and, you know, you hate it for him, such a good teammate, but, you know, you got to move forward, and you know, guys got to step up, and we will, but no, I just never like to see a guy go down like that.
Yeah, good thing Double A got our Adrianza back in here, or we'd be in a heap of trouble. And I looked at the Gwinnett Striper situation at second base, and they got Pat Valaika, who has 800 major league at-bats with the Rockies and Orioles, playing second base with the Stripers. And he's had a pretty decent year, 256, 9 home runs, 43 RBI, 16 doubles, 29 years old. He's been around the block in the big leagues. So it looks like he may be getting the call up as we wait on Ozzie Albies to heal up and get back in there, which should be sometime next month. I'm guessing about a month from now, we should see Ozzie getting back in there to finish off the season. As I mentioned, Kyle Wright going tonight in the series finale, 7-10. And we need to put another one in the win column. But that was a big win last night to bounce back coming off that series, that lousy series that we had against the Mets. Even though the Mets won last night. And there you go. That's us chopping it up. Yeah, that Acuna scoring from first base, that was amazing. I mean, there's probably not another player or maybe two that would have scored on that play. And it is so awesome to see him break out. Had really been struggling most of the year. In and out of the lineup. You know, the soreness kept coming back and so he never really got the timing that he needed to go on a big-time run at the plate, working overtime to try to get it figured out. And apparently we got Ronald Acuna Jr. Ready to unload as we finish off the season. That's going to be awesome. He's back. He is absolutely back. And already looking forward to the series with the Mets next week as we get four games right here at Truist Park. I hope the fans are going to show up big for that one, brother. Because that is a huge series. We got to knock seven games back as we wake up today. And we got to find a way to chop some of that. Speaking of chopping, we got to chop some of that lead off as DT does the chop. Hey, Chuck and Chernoff are back on the road, broadcasting live from Truck and Tap and Alpharetta on Friday from 2 to 6. Creature Comforts, Classic City Lager. We got some gift packs we're going to be giving away. We got those fan T-shirts. You can register to win baseball tickets. Come hang with that show and start your weekend with Creature Comforts Classic City Lager at Truck and Tap from 2 to 6 at 30 Milton Avenue in Alpharetta. That Chuck and Chernoff, they're out and about all the time. All right, coming back on the other side, we got Chris Mortensen hanging out. We'll talk about Roquan Smith and what Goodell's doing with Deshaun Watson. Plus, Josh Brooks, the athletic director at Georgia, will join us at 10:35 on the roundtable. Glad you're with us. Hump Day Wednesday is the Blue Show here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Pitch to Riley. He whistles one through the left side and a base hit. Harris scores. Here comes Acuna. Here comes the throw from Bam. Play at the plate. A dive. And he's in there. Rotto fired up. What a slide. Just eluding the tag from Plawecki. Riley down to second base, and the Braves have a 9-7 lead here in the 11th.
Ronald Acuna is back. And it's good to win. After losing three in a row. It's the Buck Blue Show here on The Fan. We appreciate you hanging out Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. Or if you're listening on the app, you can listen anytime, anywhere. Let's head to the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line and bring on Mort.
For the latest on the NFL, we turn to The Fan's truest NFL reporter, Chris Mortensen. Presented by the Atlanta Painting Company, Atlanta's premier residential and commercial painting company. Call 1-800-PAINTING or visit AtlantaPaintingCompany.com.
ESPN's Chris Mortensen, Buck Blue Show, and 680 The Fan's truest NFL insider. Joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line every Wednesday. Morton, how you doing today, man?
Doing well, Buck. I think after last night's debut of Hard Knocks training camp with the Lions, I think the most intense anticipated game of the preseason this week is the Falcons at the Lions.
Yeah, and everybody I talked to at the coffee shop this morning, Morton, they want to know if the Falcons are going to get Roquan Smith in here.
Well, Roquan wants out. Ryan Poles, the new general manager of the Bears, doesn't sound like he's enthusiastic about that, but he didn't rule it out. So, what's the price going to be? What's the price in terms of draft compensation? And listen, you're getting another good defensive player if you can afford him, both in compensation and if fitting them in the cap wise, I would say why not take a look? I'd have to ask more people around the league, you know, what they think the value is there. But, you know, I understand the question. That's for sure.
Yeah, we could use a defender like this guy, obviously. Look, he's upset with this offer, saying they're not negotiating in good faith, upset. He's got a backloaded offer with de-escalators into the contract. Just right. Feels like they're not treating him right.
Well, here's the thing, he is his own agent, and for whatever reason, that's what he's chosen, and you will get your feelings hurt if you're your own agent trying to negotiate a deal. So, Roquan just probably has to come to grips with that, but, they're going to hurt your feelings while they're negotiating. And at the same time, I think the Bears have to be sensitive to it, unless they think there's a commodity there that they can trade and help themselves going forward. To me, when you talk about the Chicago Bears, when you talk about identity, they're one of the franchises that you identify with what?
Defense.
What, Buck? Defense.
Linebacker.
Linebacker. I don't know how you don't take care of Roquan Smith, but I think it's premature. I've never been big on this. The contract stuff at this stage of the season, to be honest with you.
Right. And I believe the price tag is going to be too high for the Falcons to get involved right now. At this point in time, the timing's not good.
Yeah, the timing does not appear to be good. That's for sure. That's for sure.
So Roger Goodell wants a year suspension for Deshaun Watson. Mort, what do you tell the guy that's thinking, shouldn't the commissioner want what's best for the league? Is this what's best for the league is for him to sit out another full year? I mean, what do you got, the 6 or 8 game suspension handed down by the judge, the ruling? Now Goodell doesn't like that. He wants a full year. Seems like they would want what's best for the league, and in that for him to be playing football?
Well, I mean, as a football fan, the answer is yes. You want to see Deshaun Watson, one of the truly elite players in the NFL, playing football. When you look at these cases and the way the commissioner apparently is looking at this, and we've known this because they made the argument when they're having going through the process, is that they don't see this as just one violation. They see it as 4 separate violations, and each one of them constitutes, X amount of games, which comes to that year suspension indefinite. And I do think that they want counseling involved. And I think the fact that Deshaun Watson, as the judge or the retired judge, Sue Robinson, noted, did not show remorse in her opinion.
Right.
And they've seen that. So I think that I think there's going to be some settlement talk. And I think there's going to be – I think he's got a chance of playing this year. With this arbitrator, Peter Harvey, an attorney general, a friend of the league, I would say that it's not looking good for Deshaun Watson. It's not good for the league, but it's not good, if a player goes out and has that many masseuses and gets this many allegations.
Yeah, I don't think the massage is what got him in trouble.
No, and there have been grand juries that have declined to criminally indict him. But, that has not been the standard as they move forward over the most recent years.
Mort, what are you hearing about Garoppolo? I mean, the Browns, that would appear to be a spot if Deshaun's going to be out the entire year, bring him in for a year. What are you hearing about Jimmy G?
Yeah, almost nothing. I mean, I don't think that Kyle Shanahan was faking it when he basically said, he's not hearing anything. That's really the agent. Don Yee is Jimmy G's agent. I think that Cleveland is said. Now, I think they lose Watson for the year. They'll take a look at it. Now, Jacoby Brissett's going to start week 1. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going into Cleveland and be a starter if for some reason they move in that direction.
Yeah.
But they want to sustain it going forward. I mean, listen, they got a running team. They got a heck of a defense. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, can run that type of offense. And bottom line is Jacoby Brissett, as good as he is, he's a tough guy, but he can get banged up too. So if they see themselves as contenders, they'd have to look at it. I don't see him at all as a candidate to be in Seattle. I think this is really going to be Geno Smith or Drew Locke. I think it'll be Drew Locke, and that's the way they're going to roll. They're going to run the football. So everybody's wondering about Houston because of the Patriot ties and their need. But we haven't heard much yet because they really do want to find out about Davis Mills. They think he might have something there. So it's a mystery. And they're clearly the hand that the 49ers are playing, and probably Donnie, the agent, is to see if there's going to be an injury at one of these other teams and that causes people to act.
Mort, apparently Baker Mayfield's made a good first impression with Charlotte.
Yeah, that's by all accounts, based off what I've heard, based off what I've read, that he's done quite well picking up the offense in a short amount of time. He does bring energy to the team. I heard, you know, Sam Darnold's playing well, but let's face it, when they got Baker Mayfield, it told you that they were not all in on Sam Darnold. But Baker Mayfield, and as you know, the Panthers open up against the Browns. That's not why they got him. But he apparently is doing quite well, and we'll see where it falls.
Mort, what can you tell us about this tea in Peru that Aaron Rodgers was drinking?
You know, what's weird about it is I had a family member tell me that, in other words, I'm about to tell you that I have a family member that actually sought this out himself, and it's restricted as to whether or not they'll take you and let you try. I don't know, but it's not against the NFL's drug policy. And apparently Aaron's learned how to love himself better. We're all happy about that. And it's just one of those things where it's, you know, Aaron's always been a little bit of a different guy, right?
Well, no doubt.
If that works for him in his personal life, so be it. But there's no violation in terms of the NFL and their drug policy.
Yeah, he's saying it's a life changer is what I was reading, that he was too critical of himself. He's now trying to learn to love himself and maybe love others a little bit more. Overall, it sounds like a good thing.
Sounds like a good thing. I got a few other options for him. One option in particular, apparently he doesn't want to seek that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, it's interesting to say the least, man. We are we're down here waiting on the Falcons to take the field. What are you hearing anything coming out of the Falcons camp right now?
No, I mean, listen, Dean Pease, with his press conference, you know, just kind of trying to light a fire, and those are words that he's fired up, but they're obviously counting on a bunch of young guys to play at a very high aggressive level. Arthur Smith clearly wants to play a physical brand of football. I think that's why they're young. Now we're starting to hear some of the concerns about Desmond Ridder's accuracy, which I think you and I certainly know.
Yeah.
This is Marcus Mariota's team. And it will be. He's got to stay healthy. They want to run the football. Can they do all those things? I mean, we'll see when they start playing. That's why I really think the preseason game against the Lions is interesting, because, you know, the way Dan Campbell and the Lions practice, and they were much more competitive than their record last year, the Lions. It is old-time football. You're going to go out there and you're going to bang shoulder pads. I'll say, I won't say you'll bang heads, but the bottom line is that I think it's actually an interesting first preseason game for the Falcons, and one that they can get a pretty good evaluation on some guys at the end of one preseason game, which is unusual these days.
Well, Mort, my concern with the head coach and the general manager, are they on the same page? And look, I understand what the coach wants. He wants to play physical football, but seems like the general manager thinks they're playing 7-on-7 football. It didn't address the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. So I don't know how you play physical when you're not winning up front.
You've got to practice physical, and that's why I'm anxious to see what happens. And it's like I said, I don't put stock in preseason games, but you can see certain glimpses of how they're approaching this. And, it's a matter of getting your guys better, practicing better, using better technique. And is it really going to be that much of a talent deficiency? On the surface, from everybody else's perspective around the league, yes, there is a deficiency in talent in the areas that you're talking about, where games are, we believe, are won and lost in the trenches.
More great stuff as always. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, man.
All right, Buck. Take care, bud.
Mort working it every week here on the show, and the Newsmaker line brought to you by Hobson & Hobson. And they are a divorce and custody firm. Are you brave enough to take the first step? Visit areyoubraveenough.com to schedule a consultation. Got Josh Brooks coming up here in just a moment, but we've got time for a college football nugget.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, we're going to go with the Bulldogs, man, working out over in Athens. They put some pads on. They have been there about a week now, getting ready for Oregon to kick off the season. And that is just around the corner, a little over 3 weeks. And news on the street is that one of the receivers is making some noise over at practice. And that is a guy that I've talked about during the offseason, Arian Smith. Heading into his third season on campus. And so far, he's just been a guy that has the reputation of taking the top off the defense and a guy that's been getting hurt a lot. That's been the rep on Arian Smith. I mean, he's got 5 catches in 2 seasons at Georgia, and 3 of them he took to the house. I mean, talk about a good ratio there. I'd be trying to get him the football a little bit more. 3 touchdowns and 5 catches. And I tell you what, he is, you know, you get sort of a bad rap when you're a receiver and you're running track. He's not a track dude trying to play football. This is a football player running track. Really good route runner, good hands, explosive. All the things you want out of one of your wide receivers. Just got to stay healthy, which a lot of times you can't control. I mean, you get hit and you get hit hard. I mean, you're going to get dinged up some of the time. But I'll tell you what, looking at this receiver core, you've heard me talk about how Monken and Bennett, they've got 12 weapons to get the ball to in the passing game. Add Mitchell, Kyaris Jackson, Ladd McConkey, Dom Blaylock, Rosemi Jack Saint, Darnell Washington, Arik Gilbert, Brock Bowers, Oscar Delph, Kenny McIntosh. That was 12, right? Well, Arian Smith, with a good camp, cements his status as in the rotation at wide receiver. Looking forward to seeing more out of the explosive, big play man, Arian Smith. I talked to him this summer in Macon, down there for an autograph show. And I was really impressed, not only with the young man, just talking with him, but gosh, I thought he was a little dude. I mean, he's 6'1", somewhere in there. He's a football player, not a guy just running track. Come on, man. And there's your college football nugget, which we do every day on the show. That brings us to the Bulldog Roundtable. Road Dogs got us counting it down to the season opening game against Oregon. We're 24 days out. 24? Man, that's my go-to receiver, Lindsey Scott.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Ballou.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10, Buck, get in there!
Table is proudly presented by Georgia's own credit union, Haug Law Group, Georgia Pack and Load, and AAA, and by attorney Ken Nugent.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. How many days until the Dogs open up against Oregon in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game?
Back third down on the 8. In trouble. Got a block behind him. Going to throw and a run. Complete to the 25. To the 30. Lindsey Scott, 35, 40. Lindsey Scott, 45, 50. 45, 40. Run, Lindsey. 25, 20, 50, 10, 5. Lindsey Scott. Lindsey Scott. Lindsey Scott. Well, I can't believe it. 92 yards, and Lindsey really got in a foot race. I broke my chair. I came right through a chair. A metal steel chair with about a 5-inch cushion. I broke it. The booth came apart. The stadium fell down. Now they do have to renovate this thing. They'll have to rebuild it now. This is incredible. You know, this game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight? And up at St. Simon's and Jekyll Island and all those places where all those dog people have got these condominiums for 4 days? Man, is there going to be some property destroyed tonight? 26-21. Dogs on top. We were gone. I gave up. You did too. We were out of it and gone. Miracle.
Man, I got goosebumps. Got the hair on my arm standing up. Love that call. The great Larry Munson and my man Lindsey Scott were 24 days out of taking on Oregon to open this season.
How many times do you think you've heard that call, Buck?
Not enough.
Still gets it going.
Yeah,
every time,
I tell you
right?
What gets the heart pumping, man. I tell you, they're just a great moment. So awesome to be a part of that. And we didn't realize until maybe a couple of days later what a great call that Larry Munson had as he fell to the floor and got back up after he broke that metal steel chair.
I think that really built his reputation and a big part of
his
legacy.
Big moment for all of us.
And
no
by the
doubt.
Way, everybody thinks about Lindsey running. You moved around in that pocket pretty well and got that ball.
Yeah,
Lindsey.
I thought it was a pretty good throw.
Pretty
in
good
there.
Throw, yeah.
Yeah, I had to fit it in a tight spot. Just happy that we're able to pull that out, man. Yes, sir. All right, so yesterday I had a chance to catch up with the Georgia Athletic Director, Josh Brooks. Here's that interview. Joining me now on the Buck Ballou Show is Josh Brooks, J. Reed Parker, Director of Athletics at the UGA, as you know. And Josh, man, we're a little over 3 weeks away from getting football season underway. Now, how do you improve on year number one? You won the national championship.
Well, obviously, that's always the challenge, and that's the standard, but I remind everybody I've got 21 programs, so it's not just football, but it's the other 20 programs as well that we want to keep having that level of success and want to be, at least contending and competing for championships in all sports.
Got the soccer program getting off to a start here yesterday?
Yeah, that was a great day. Even though it was exhibition, great to get a win in an exhibition versus the second-ranked team in the country, so already showing some great signs under Kadani McAlpine's leadership of what that team can become. So very excited for that program.
You're busy year round. I mean, there are no days off for you with all these programs you've got to direct. And it tickles me that you say you got to remind people that now you're just not running the football program, although I'm sure that keeps you busy there. How do you describe working closely with Kirby Smart?
Well, that's a machine of an operation there, and it's not just him. It's an entire staff. It's coaches. It's sports staff. He's got great people that really, a lot of times, for all of us, we want, and this goes for all of our coaches, all of our programs, we got such great support staff. You want to take stuff off their plate so they can focus on coaching and recruiting, right? So whether you're working with their administrative staff, their director of ops, sports medicine, equipment staff, the goal from our standpoint as administration is to eliminate those things so they can focus on coaching and recruiting. So you really try to save the interactions with the head coaches, like Coach Smart, for the bigger things, for the bigger topics, so you're not getting caught up in the weeds. As you can imagine, with any program, there's so many things going on day to day.
How does your job change when the football program's opening the year here in Atlanta in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game?
Well, I always joke and say, I like opening it up in Atlanta because if there's any logistical problems, I don't have to take any of the blame for it. I can just blame the Mercedes. It's always fun to open it up on there because there's always so much excitement on the first game that you can prepare all year, but you're never going to be truly ready. There's going to be some hiccups at that first game. But it's fun. It's fun to be on such a great venue, be here in our backyard in Atlanta on national stage, game like that. So we look forward to it.
Back home at Sanford Stadium, week number two, and just love how you guys continue to upgrade whatever you can at Sanford Stadium, one of the great venues in college football. What about this coming season? What are some of the things fans can look forward to seeing?
Not a ton of changes this year, per se. There'll be some in-game promotional things that you'll notice. We're holding strong with the concession prices, even though, as we all have experienced, there have been massive, up charges and inflation. And, you go to any restaurant or grocery store, the prices have gone up. We're holding strong with those prices. you know, we're still going to keep focusing on customer service when you come to our venue. But really, the big story will begin this offseason when we start doing the construction on the South 100 and the South 300, to where we can really make some massive improvements to those areas to make it great, better from a restroom, concession, from an ingress, egress standpoint. And just that overall experience there is going to make a drastic improvement come this time next year.
Josh, I've been traveling the state with my new book, doing some book signings inside the hedges. And everywhere I've gone, I get the same question over and over again, and that is, what's going to happen with the Georgia-Florida game? And, you know, I'm not sure what to say. What can you tell us with that? What's the future hold?
I mean, honestly, that's really not something we've gotten into the weeds on yet. You know, people think that people get obsessed about topics like that, and they forget that we have so many other things we have to attack day in and day out. But there'll be a time to have a discussion on that. We're locked in through the 23 season, so I'm sure when this game is complete this year, I'm sure the buzz will start about a week or two before the game like it normally does. But when that game is complete this year, we'll probably get in the weeds and discuss what are the possibilities. I think that, one of the first key things we've got to get figured out is, what is our conference schedule going to look like? That's an important domino to fall, whether we're going to be an 8-game scenario, 9-game scenario, and how that impacts our schedule, our home and away schedule. So that's the first piece for me. And then there'll be a time to discuss that and get into that and see what the future holds.
Yeah, football getting all the focus from the fan base perspective in the fall. What are some of the other sports you've got your eye on this fall?
Yeah, so obviously soccer just started off last night with exhibition. Volleyball starts here soon, and then we've got cross country. People, forget that a lot of those track young men and women, they compete year round. So cross country, soccer, volleyball, and football are the main fall sports. And then as we get a little deeper into it, you'll see you'll have some swim meets, some equestrian, some golf and tennis matches. And then, obviously, around the corner, both men and women's basketball will be starting up here before you know it.
Yeah, I get a kick. I get some people, I've heard them say, you know, I'd love to be the director of athletics at Georgia. And I'm thinking, do you have a twin brother? I mean, Josh, how are you getting it all done?
You know, it's a challenge, but this is what you love, right? You love going to these events and being there to support our teams. Well, you know, the way I have to do it to make it balanced for my life is, I make it a point of emphasis to bring one of my children with me to as many games as possible. That way I can, spend some one-on-one time with one of my children or with my wife and enjoy a Georgia athletic event as well. Because if those two lives were separate, it would be too much to take on to be a good father and to be a good AD. So the more I can incorporate those two together for me, it helps me be efficient. I hate to view it as being efficient, but, it really is about being efficient with your time. There's so many hours in the day. So the more I can bring those two together, it helps me be a good father, dad, a father, husband, and an AD.
You got some speed in that family, I'm seeing.
Yeah, if I can ever track down this mailman that lived in my neighborhood. 13
That's not coming from you?
No, actually, yeah, I was no one will ever believe this, but I was a fast kid all growing up. I was always one of the faster kids, but I developed late, and I think everybody passed me by. Jackson's a twin, and I think he's been pretty dedicated since day one, and hopefully keeps it going.
Yeah, I see you having a lot of success out there in the running track. What was it, the 4x100?
It was the 4x8 this last weekend, and he got second in the nation in the pentathlon. He won it 2 years ago, fell a little short this year. But it's probably good for him to kind of, you don't win it every year, so it's good for him to not win and be a little motivated this offseason to get back at it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure you're proud. Josh, thanks so much. I know you're busy. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Buck. Appreciate you.
Hey, don't forget to tune into the Business of Sports segment each week on The Fan, presented by Southern Company. Nick and Chris have this on their show. Presented by Southern Company, building the future of energy in all the communities they serve. Business of Sports. Nick and Chris will be all over that at some point this week. All right, coming back, got the Infinity of Gwinnett Drive, the content segment, and some big news relating to the Georgia-Florida game in Jacksonville. But it's not a game changer. in the eyes of Kirby Smart. I'll tell you why. Coming up next, Ballou Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the Sub-Sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
The Ballou Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7, 10 to 11. Man, we're trying to squeeze it all in today again. And the Braves scored 9 runs last night, which means you can get an oil change, full-service oil change at Express Oil Change and Tire Engineers and get $9 off today only. They're all over Metro Atlanta. $9 is $9, man. Take advantage of that. Know what I'm saying? I'll take $9 off. Yes, sirree, buddy. All right, I wanted to talk about the big news that came down right before we came on the show overnight into the morning time, and that is the Georgia-Florida change down in Jacksonville. Now both teams can host recruits. But look, I don't think Kirby's going to go for this. And let me tell you why. Because all you can do is provide tickets to the recruit and his family. You can't talk to him. You can't wave at him. Here's some tickets. Watch the game. And then go on back home. See, recruiting is you want to bring these prospects and their families to your campus so they can see the facility, spend quality time with the team and the coaching staff, not just go to a game. So I believe as far as Kirby pulling the Georgia game out of Jacksonville once every 2 years and bringing it back to Athens, his desire to do that is not going to change with this news coming down. I'm just saying, come on, just provide a ticket. I mean, that's not recruiting. Kirby, I could use that ticket, though, brother. No doubt about it. Hey, podcast is out. Go to thepodcastpark.com. Brought to you by Associated Credit Union. Episode 66. I'm talking Braves with MLB on Fox lead analyst John Smoltz. Want to invite you to do that. It's brought to you by Associated Credit Union. I think we got it all in. Hey, one more thing, too. I've got a book signing tomorrow night in Buckhead. Going to be at Irby's Tavern, Atlanta's hometown sports bar on East Paces Ferry from 6 to 8. Come on by, say go dogs. I'll sign the book and hope you enjoy that. It's going to do it for the Ballou Show today. Nick and Chris coming up next. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, everybody.
Thank you, Buck.
Okay, thanks a lot, Buck.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.